Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Another busy week in the wrestling business, and a great week, too, when you look at the big show of the week, to me at least, one of the best shows that we've seen in a while, and that was the finals of the Cruiserweight Classic that took place on Wednesday night. So a couple of fantastic matches on that show, actually more than a couple altogether. There was four great matches on the show. You had the two semifinal matches, the finals match, and then you had another match in between. But just a great showcase for those amazing talents and the Cruiserweight division in total, with TJ Perkins beating both Kota Ibushi and Gran Metalik to win the tournament and also become the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, which we didn't even know was going to happen until right before the match. And it's the first time WWE's had a Cruiserweight Champion since 2007. By the way, a quick trivia question. The last Cruiserweight Champion? Hornswoggle. But I think they're going to do a little bit more with the championship this time around in that division. But that show Wednesday night was fantastic. If you haven't watched it, go out of your way to watch it. I don't care if you have to steal somebody else's password and username to the WWE Network. Do what you have to do and go watch that show. And you'll really enjoy it, I promise, especially if you love the in-ring action. But just a big night for TJ Perkins. And now the Cruiserweight division will be showcased Monday nights on Raw, and that's where TJ and the rest of the division is going to be going next, with Raw in Memphis on Monday night. And if anybody hasn't followed the journey of TJ Perkins, and he's talked about it obviously during this tournament that's been going on, he's explained, this is a guy that loved the wrestling business. He started in the wrestling business at the age of 13, believe it or not, living in Los Angeles. And he used to find clever ways of skipping school on Friday, and he would cross the border and go to Tijuana to go and perform on these Lucha Libre shows. And he was wearing a mask so nobody could tell how young he was. And then when he turned 18, he went over to New Japan. And I still believe he is the youngest foreigner to ever compete in New Japan. And he's a guy that's traveled the world doing his craft. And during that process, he's had some ups. He's definitely had some downs, including a period where he was homeless, and now he's on the rebound again, and he found his path. You're talking about somebody that's now 32 years old, but has been in the wrestling business for almost 20 years, which is just about unheard of. And it was a huge night for TJ to win the tournament and have the level of matches that he had against both Ibushi and Metalik. And the day after the tournament, I was invited to go to the WWE Performance Center, and I got an opportunity to speak with TJ Perkins. So here is my conversation with the Cruiserweight Classic champion and now the WWE Cruiserweight champion. I am here with the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic and now the WWE Cruiserweight champion, TJ Perkins. First of all, congratulations on the big night.
Thank you very much.
Has it sunk in yet?
No, I don't know if it ever will, to be honest. It's weird. I mean, it's surreal. I'll just hit you with cliches, cause that's what, I don't know. It's weird. You say it, and when you're outside of it, or before you do something like this, you look at other guys and you're like, man, they all say the same things, but I mean, it really is beyond words. It's surreal. I mean, I'd wake up in the middle of the night last night, and I would check the edge of the bed to see if the title was still there, because I'm like, I'm going to wake up from a dream and this isn't going to be real. But I roll over and feel my busted cauliflower ear, and they're like, no, it was definitely real.
So what was the moment like in the ring? The second you win, they're getting ready to officially announce you. What was that moment like then after two really, physical matches and very great matches as well?
I mean, it's crazy. For me, it's been such a long road that, the bell rings and it's like this weight lifted off your shoulders, and you just think about all the things that you went through to get there. I think it's probably the same for a lot of athletes in that position. But you know, then the ceremony starts, and for me, I thought about a lot of my heroes, like when they, you know, had their first big one. You know, I thought about Ali when he first won his first world title, and against Liston, and then you think about, I thought about Shawn Michaels when he won his first world title, Eddie Guerrero, same thing. And for me, I mean, I could replay those celebrations in my head. Like, I remember everything they did. I remember how the crowd looked, how the atmosphere felt, all those different things about those things. Some, like, the Shawn Michaels, for example, I was there live, so that was, like, you know, pretty cool for me. And so before you know it, it's like yours has unraveled and there's other people watching yours and you're like, wow, like this is, it's hard to believe it's real.
And that's your moment. And it's something that you've been waiting for your entire career. Does it mean more now, or do you appreciate it more now considering that it happened at this stage in your career where you've already been in the business for 18 years?
Yeah, I definitely think so. A lot of, you know, the ups and downs for me, especially the downs, I feel like it came in a lot of indirect ways because I didn't appreciate what I had. You know, I got thrust into the, like, some great things when I was really young. Part of the reason why Kobe Bryant, we talked about this before, I believe, you know, he's such a big inspiration to me because, you know, he was, like, shipped off to the Lakers right out of high school. I mean, he went from English class to the Great Western Forum. And I went from, I mean, I was already wrestling already in high school, but I went from English class to the Tokyo Dome, and like, and so I remember feeling, you feel the pressure, but it sometimes, if you're young enough and immature enough, you don't even realize the pressure's there because you don't even appreciate your career. You don't even know what a career is. I didn't. And so to have this now as opposed to when I was having, you know, nice things before, it made me realize in the middle when times were bad, like, you know, what really means a lot to you. And like, you know, part of it's being a better man and being a better person, being a better businessman, being a professional. And then you learn to appreciate the nice things like this. You know, it's not just a kid playing games anymore.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you talk to a lot of professional athletes, a lot of times they'll talk about, many times they'll remember the down times more than they will the good times. Is that the case for you, or is this a case where now that you've won, you know, this tournament of 32 competitors, you're the first, you know, WWE Cruiserweight Champion, now that they brought the title back, that this is a big moment for you that can stand above maybe even some of the darker moments?
Yeah, it's true. I people ask me all the time, like, do you have a favorite road story? Do you have all this? And it's like, man, I got a ton, and I don't think I'm old and senile yet. And I don't, you know, I've been hitting the head a lot, but I don't think I have any, you know, problems or anything like that. But I can't for the life of me remember a lot of my road stories and good times. Cause you really do. You think when times are bad enough, man, that's all you could ever think about. And even when you get away with it, you still think about it cause you don't ever want to go back there. And that's, I mean, what I said after the, one of the matches in the ring in the interview was very real. You know, I thought about that key to, you know, the apartment I was evicted from for years. I still had it for a reason. And it was a place, it used to remind me of a place I could never go back to. And now it's like, maybe I could finally throw that stupid thing in the garbage because now all it reminds me of is a place I don't have to go back to because, you know, I've come so far. So yeah, I mean, it's true. You really do think about the tough times.
So how did you feel this morning when you woke up physically, considering those were two very physical matches?
Oh man, I was beat up. my neck and my chest, part of my face is all purple. Thankfully I wear a collared shirt today. So
yeah, it was funny because watching you in the ring afterwards, you know, accepting an award and just looking at your chest.
Yeah, it was tough. And I busted one of my cauliflower ears open again, or not. Oh, well, you know how it works, but, that'll swell up over the next day or two and I'll have to get that drained and fixed. I wish I could say that was the worst of it, but I also swallowed a big piece of confetti during the, during the celebration. So I'm probably dying right now. I don't know. So if I don't ever do another interview, you were my last one. Thank you.
Well, that's something to be said there. So What was it like, you know, you get in this moment where fans have expectations, you have expectations, you're doing the semifinals and then the finals of this tournament, mm-hmm. and it's against two guys that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you've been in the ring with either of them, correct?
Metallic, I briefly was able to share the ring with them in a tag match during the Super Juniors tournament in Japan, but extensively, no. And when I was coming up in CMLL, he was just a student. So I was doing main event matches, and he was still in the gym. So we hadn't crossed paths a lot yet. And Kota, I've never ever been across the ring from him ever.
So what's it like for you to get ready for matches like that, knowing the stage is there, but the excitement for you as a performer as well to be in there with two top guys that you're probably looking forward to being in the ring with as well.
So Allen Iverson recently during the Hall of Fame was describing his first game against Michael Jordan. And he's like, you look forward to it. You're a big fan of the guy and you know what he is, and you get on the court and it's just like, you see other people on the court, but then you see him and it's like, he's not real. Like he glows or something. Like he's not, like everybody else is real. He's not, like, and that's sort of how it felt, because there's such an aura about him, and he's a world class performer, so like an epic boxing match between guys that have avoided the matchup for a long time. Each one of them probably wonder about that first jab, that first exchange, what that's gonna be like, what it feels like, what that guy is. And so for me, it's like what's that going to be like the first time he lands a kick or something? And it's he's every bit as world class as the hype is around him. He's worth every bit of it.
And I mean, what was it like for in between the matches? So you have the one match with the Bushi. It's a very physical match, the kicks, the style that's going on with that. And then there's just this probably about 15, maybe 20 minute window. Mm-hmm. For you to get ready for another match, yeah. That's another high level match, against Grand Metallic, like you said, and what was going through your mind during that downtime of trying to kind of gather yourself and get refocused for this finals match?
Well, like you were saying before about expectations, I came into all of this without any expectations, and I'm a big. I'm very big about staying in the moment. And my first match afterward, I quoted a Zen proverb, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. And there's a lot of interpretations for it, but a big lesson to be taken away from that is stay in the moment. Like, things will happen, things will come and go, sometimes your life will change, but at the end of the day, there's certain things that are constant, and you have to be able to stay in the moment and still do those things. For me, as big as this moment is, God willing, I'm going to have thousands more, and I have to remember to take each moment as it comes. So, you get through one war, and then you just think, all right, the Lakers in 2010 were down coming to the end of the NBA Finals, and they asked Kobe in the post game, they're like, well, you're going into, I think it was game 6, and you guys are down 3-2, like what are you thinking? Because just 2 years ago you were down and you guys got annihilated getting closed out. And he just simply said very calmly, well, we just got to win one, and then we just got to win one more. And that's the only way you can look at it. So, that's all that goes to my head is, I did one, now I just got to get through one more.
That's time for the next step.
Yeah, that's all it is.
So tell me, how does it feel to be kicked by Kota Ibushi?
Oh, it feels like death. Yeah. some people had said, commented about my blocking and catching the first few. And my only return comment is that I wish I had did the remaining 20 as well, because... Yeah, it's pretty rough.
So, what did Triple H, did he say anything to you, like after the show or even before, something that sticks with you? Because he's somebody that I think for a lot of people, when it comes to NXT and even when it comes to the Cruiserweight Classic, just him being an influence for everybody and helping put this together. Did you have a moment with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a pleasant experience being here as a professional. I've had such great open and casual and professional interaction, you know, with all of the office and administration, all of my peers and everything. And what I was stressing to a lot of the guys, and it's weird because I'm young, but I'm still like, I'm one of the senior members, you know, in the locker room already. And, I would stress to a lot of the guys, like, you go places, and I've been everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And you go places and you have a wonderful locker room and just a nightmare of an office. Or you have a wonderful office, but a nightmare locker room. And I've never been in a place until now where you got both. And this is the first place I've ever been that it's across the board. Everything is so wonderful. And everybody's so supportive. It's a family atmosphere. And everybody's so helpful and approachable. And, you know, Triple H, everybody has been really wonderful. I was able to speak to him the first week we were here for the first round. I spoke to him in the span of 5 days, more times than I spoke to any other person of administration or boss I've ever had anywhere else in the span of 5 years. I spoke to him more within 5 days. Like, that's how engaged he is and how passionate he is about it. And he encourages that in everybody. And I think that's a healthy atmosphere. That's the way it should be. You know, he's a workaholic, and I think he respects when other people are too.
Wrestling fans have seen you work now for 18 years. You've obviously been a very, very good performer. But to me, it felt like there was something a little bit different about you in this tournament that brought the best in you. Did you feel any different with the style in this tournament as it went on?
You know, life and the things we do is, so much of it is about narratives, you know, and there's circumstances beyond your control and you can't catch a pitch that isn't thrown, that sort of thing. And I feel like I've always had this to offer. And of course, you know, you improve every day. At least I strive to. And so I'm always trying to learn and doing things like that. I'll be a student for the rest of my life. But I feel like a lot of this is stuff that I was always capable of, but, you know, the opportunity is not right, or the timing is not right, you know, or the circumstance is not right. That's part of the reason why my first match with Mac in this tournament was so important to me, because for the first time it felt like I got to set my own table, you know, and I've never had that before. And it's, you know, just life's a game of inches, man. Just like Pacino says what was that movie?
Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday, yeah. It really is. The smallest change and the smallest opportunity, the smallest narrative can do wonders. And I just think, you know, sometimes it takes the right thing. You got to be patient, you know. You got to wait for your pitch.
Yeah. So when did you know, or when did you find out that this was not just going to be, obviously whoever wins the tournament, you know, is going to be the tournament winner, but also going to be the Cruiserweight champion?
Pretty much when everybody saw the belt along with me out in front of everybody.
Yeah. Really?
I didn't get a chance to see it or understand, you know, that was what the stakes are. You know, I mean, you get a feeling like that a lot of this stuff is going to be correlated. And, you know, definitely winning the tournament is going to mean something. But you don't, you know, until everybody gets a chance to see it, you know, I found out like everybody else.
Because you being a student of the game and studying the business and following it for so long, and not only being a part of it too, but you have that flash right before a match. Like, hey man, the Cruiserweight Championship is coming back, and now that's online here. Did you have any thoughts about that real quick, or is it, I got to stay focused on what's ahead of me right here?
Yeah, you hope it doesn't light a fire under the other guy. And by the looks of my neck and chest, it did. So
yeah. And that's the thing, because we – you know, I think now everybody is very interested in seeing, you know, the Cruiserweight style come back officially now, you know, when it comes to regular WWE programming. What do you think it's going to be like for you and for everybody else to kind of, you know, bring that back on the stage that we haven't seen in a few years?
Yeah, it's, I always liked being able to do things that my heroes did. And being in accomplish certain things and being in those atmospheres, because that's what my heroes did. I like following their footsteps. But now to be the first of something, to be at the start of a new path that's going to like define and inspire a generation, that's opening gates for something, like, and you know, I don't want to make it sound too epic, but I don't know how else to describe it. That's kind of what it is. And I can't even begin to describe what that's like. And just to, the magnitude of that is, it's a special time. And I've been saying it this whole time. This is a special time. This tournament is going to be something that history looks back on. And it's going to be more than just a footnote. And to have gone this far and come out of it how I did, it's, I couldn't have imagined that in a million years.
What was your expectations going into the tournament? Because obviously this is something we haven't seen before. And people were very curious to see how this is going to be presented, how it came out. You know, you've got 32 competitors from around the world. What was your expectations going into it? And what's your thoughts about it looking back on it now?
Right. So, you know, coming into it, I mean, I try not to ever have expectations. Like I said, you know, I try to stay in the moment, that type of thing. But going into it, you know, I was a free agent and had an opportunity to do this. I didn't know how it would go. I don't think a lot of people understood or even knew, like, where this would lead everybody, you know, and how it would turn out and that sort of thing. And I didn't think anything about past round one or anything like that. But what I really wanted to do was come away from it having inspired Filipino people and inspired my heritage. We don't have a lot of heroes, and that was important to me. And with each passing round, it just became more and more important to me. And so to have gone all the way through and to win the whole thing, for me, it's special because it brings validation to my original goal. Now the magnitude of my message is bigger. And it's not just about me. You know, like I said previously, after the final, I said this trophy, all of this, it's not about one guy, it's about 32 guys. Well, the Cruiserweight Championship and being in this position, it's bigger than it is just me. It's for all Filipino people that we haven't had a lot of heroes, and I'm happy to inspire them to become heroes in their own right.
So you didn't already have plans for Monday, did you?
No, I never do. Wrestling has dominated my life for so long now. More than half my life is being in the ring. I don't remember what life was like before having to think about what I'm doing for my job at all. Like, I mean, I started this when I was 13. I don't remember what life was like.
Yeah.
You know, waking up and not thinking I got to pack some gear or catch a flight or get in a car. I don't know what that's like anymore. I forgot. Like, so no, I didn't have any plans. This is what I do, man.
Well, you talk about, you know, the moments. You always look for those moments.
Yeah.
So what do you think that moment is going to be like? A Monday, you're going to be on Raw. You know, you're going to come out there as a Cruiserweight champion. What do you think that moment's going to be like for you?
Oh, I mean, I'm in such incredible company being there, and you know, going to Memphis Monday night, like, with the locker room that Raw has, and so many of them are my friends from before and people that I came up with, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, these guys, they're so incredibly talented. And I think that adding the Cruiserweight division, it's kind of overkill. So I don't know that there's ever too much of a good thing, but if there is, we're getting pretty close to it, because that's incredible to have all of that and to be at the forefront of representing this there on a show like that I grew up watching. It's incredible. I don't even know what to expect, even if I was about expectations.
Yeah. Have a lot of people reached out to you after last night? A lot of messages?
I've never had as much stuff in my inboxes in my life ever. I think I got, in the span of an hour, I got like 10,000 extra Instagram followers and like things like that. That's pretty big for me.
Any surprises from people that reached out to you to drop you a message?
Not necessarily. It was just pleasant to, you know, to hear from everybody. You know, this is a really lonely job sometimes. You know, you leave your friends somewhere and you don't know when you'll see them again. And especially when you're a workaholic like I am, and sometimes you wonder, you know, if people forget about you or if you're, you know, you're not acquaintances anymore, that sort of thing. And so it was nice to hear from people that were part of my path, you know. There's some guys, buddy of mine, Russ. I used to spend late nights with him, opening up the gym by ourselves. We'd go in and just do rep after rep after rep, just wrestling and training and training and training and training and training over and over and over again, just to get this all right. And he reached out to me and I just said, you know, thank you. Like, he's thanking me for paving the way, but I'm like, no, thank you, because I wouldn't be here if you didn't accept my, you know, invitation to drag you to the gym at 3 a.m. to, you know, do some stuff. Yeah. So
last couple of things. Do you think you surprised a lot of people by winning the tournament?
Oh, I think I shattered pretty much everybody's bracket. Yeah.
So
everybody should have put money on me.
Yeah, yeah. We made some good money, too. So when it comes to goals, so what's the goal now going forward?
I think the goal is still the same, but, you know, you have to take it to another level. You know, I still want to inspire Filipino people. You know, all we have is Manny, and as of right now, I'm no Manny. But, you know, there's an opportunity to get there, and I want to keep pursuing that until I can reach as many people as possible. And, you know, if this is to be the benchmark of a new generation for the cruiserweights, you know, I want to be that. I feel like same with everybody else that's representing what they're doing proudly. You know, we had a women's revolution, and they have aspirations to main event WrestleMania. And I think that's amazing, and that's great. And I honestly think that that's something we'll see. And the tag teams going through a renaissance. Like, I would love for it to be a perceivable idea that cruiserweights might main event WrestleMania. Cruiserweights will represent in a bigger way than they had been in the past. For me, that's my goal going forward, is to represent this division and this culture, my people, in a bigger way than ever before, and hopefully create new heroes for other people, people that will inspire me back. And yeah. You know,
and there's a lot of people for you to get an opportunity to get in the ring with, people that were in this tournament that were just, you didn't face yet.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. The way the brackets lined out, you know, and it's great that wins and losses matter, but that also, you know, made it so that there's some untapped matches, you know, so I get to be across the ring from a Cedric Alexander or a Brian Kendrick or people on the other side of the bracket altogether. Noam Dar, Jack Gallagher, Tozawa. There's a lot of guys that now it's like, okay, there's some matches that they didn't get to see, and now there's endless possibilities of what they get to see in the future.
So let's get to some other important stuff. How are you feeling about our Lakers coming in the next season?
Oh, I'm feeling great, man. D'Angelo Russell is going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, he looked really good in summer league.
Oh, he's going to be great. It reminds me of the mid-90s Lakers, man, when we had a bunch of unproven guards and some draft picks that we were hoping would carry the team. Some Kobe Bryant guy that we hope pans out.
Right.
Now we got some Brandon Ingram guy that we hope pans out. You know, it reminds me of that time. That was my favorite era of the Lakers.
Yeah. I just hope people don't get expectations up too much because they're so young and the West is still so good that people think they're going to make like this big leap. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's little steps, you know,
it is, but life's that game of inches, you know, like they get a new coach that buys you a few wins. They get a few new players that buys you a few wins. And so, you know, before you know it, you know, what was a 20 or 30 win team becomes a 40, 45 win team, maybe. You know, who knows how much that makes up. And then with what some teams gain, some teams lose. You know, OKC lost Durant.
Where you never know where an injury is going to play into it. But they're not going to win 17 games. They're going to win a few more than that.
Oh, they should have won more last year. We all know we were trying to get Brandon Ingram. So I look forward to it.
So it should be fun. So once again, congratulations. And looking forward to seeing what comes next for you.
Thank you very much for having me again. I can't wait to do it again.
Thanks again to TJ Perkins. A great guy, great story. And he had a great tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing what is going to be next for him when it comes to the Cruiserweight division. I'm looking forward to seeing it coming up on Raw Monday night and every night going forward. I hope WWE does something with it. And I'm going to be curious to see all the different talents that are going to be a part of it, because you're not only going to see TJ Perkins, but Cedric Alexander and Johnny Gargano and Tomasa Ciampa and Noam Dar, Brian Kendrick, Tozawa is going to be a part of it, and there's going to be more and more people that are going to be added to it, and I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it, and it's about time that Cruiserweights were back. I think we can all make the argument if we really want, like, why aren't they on SmackDown? But you know what? It is what it is. It's not the end of the world. And they're still going to be on a major WWE television show, which is, you know, the best part about it. So I can't wait to see the Cruiserweights and see them tear it down. And the only hope that we have, obviously, is, hey, man, just give them some adequate time for the matches. And I think they're going to do that, especially right out of the gate. And it's going to be a lot of fun seeing those guys back on TV. I did want to mention our good friends over at Suplex Apparel. Find them online at suplexapparel.com. Great looking, quality wrestling apparel. Shirts, hats, sunglasses. They've got bags over there, sweatshirts, tank tops, you name it. They've got different stuff. They're updating it all the time for the different seasons. And they work with a great team of wrestlers as well. Adam Cole and Helico, Zack Sabre Jr., Prince Devitt, Kyle O'Reilly, Gail Kim, Dave Mastiff. They all work with Suplex Apparel. They want good quality stuff. And you're going to enjoy the stuff that they have over there. And like I said, it's going to last a while. It looks great. You can wear it anywhere. I was wearing a Suplex Tour t-shirt going to the movies the other day and had a couple of people point it out. They like the shirts. You'll like the shirts as well. And like I said, they're always having new things that are online. New Adam Cole t-shirts are out there. A new Zack Sabre Jr. made in the UK shirt is out there as well. Check them out online. Just go to suplexapparel.com. One of the other great things about them, not only great looking gear, they ship worldwide. Anywhere in the world that you're at, you can also enjoy great Suplex Apparel. Check it out. I guarantee you're going to like something there and you're going to want to get it. Go online, go to suplexapparel.com. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to the podcast. You can find it online on iTunes or on Stitcher. Download, rate, and review the podcast. That helps out tremendously. And you can also find it on Google Play. You can go to soundcloud.com, and you will find it there as well. It's also up on betweentheropes.com. But you know what? The best places to get it, iTunes, Stitcher, just subscribe. You'll get it. As soon as the podcast goes up, you will have it there for you to listen to. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and I will catch you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to betweentheropes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.